The reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 17, Verses 12 to 20. Tatkaliya param veda nanya kaschana le liha avatsi garuda bhita krishnena chavivat sitaha. Of all the serpents, only Kaliya came to know of this affair. And in fear of Garuda, he took up residence in that Jamuna lake. Later, Lord Krishna drove him out. Mukam karoti vachalam bangam langayate girim yakipam tamam bande shi guru dinatavinam om agyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshamilitam yena tasamai shi gurave namaha. So before we go on, we should know, here it says, only Kaliya came to know of this affair. So what is this affair that Kaliya knew about? So the affair was that he was afraid of Garuda, because Garuda was fighting with him and chased him out of his residence at Ramanaka Island. So Kaliya knew that Garuda couldn't come to the Jamuna because he was cursed by Saubari Muni. So therefore he came to the Jamuna. And the curse was, if Garuda ever again enters this lake and eats the fish here, he will immediately lose his life. And this was the curse by Saubari Muni. So Kaliya knew about that, and therefore, in fear of Garuda, he took up residence in the Jamuna lake. So verses 13 and 14. Yes, Kaliya lake. There's a Kaliya lake, which is off the Jamuna. If you go to Vrindavan, the Jamuna is flowing one way, but there's quite a bit distance from it. There's, of course, now it's dried up, but there used to be a lake 5,000 years ago, and the tree is still there. You can see the tree, and Jamuna is quite a distance away.
It was called the Jamuna Lake.
Yeah, it was a lake in the Jamuna. Jamuna Lake. Lake in the Sanskrit, doesn't say, but he said lake here. Translation. Resuming his description of Krishna's chastisement of Kaliya, Shukadeva Goswami continued. So the first 14 verses, Parikshit asked, he interrupted the narration of Kaliya's being chastised by Krishna. And then he asked, why did Kaliya leave Ramanaka Island? So for the first 14 verses, Shukadeva explained it because of his fight with Garuda, and he was afraid of Garuda. And he took shelter of the Jamuna because Garuda couldn't come there. So now from verse 13, 14, we're going back to the narration of Kaliya. Now what happened next? At the end, let's see what happened at the end of the last chapter. Kaliya worshipped Krishna. Sukhami emulated Krishna, offered him obeisances, and taking his wives, he went to the island in the sea. He went back to his house. So they finished worshipping Kaliya. And now what happens next? Krishna rose up out of the lake.
Finished worshipping Krishna.
Huh?
You said...
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Yeah, Kaliya. Kaliya? What did I say?
Jai Gornita.
Jai Gornita. Radha Gopina. What did I say?
You said they finished worshipping Kaliya.
So, oh yeah, they worship Krishna. Yeah, they finished worshipping Krishna. Sorry. And now Krishna came out of the lake wearing divine garlands, fragrances, and garments, covered with many fine jewels and decorated with gold. When the cowherds saw him, they all stood up immediately, just like an unconscious person's senses coming back to life. Filled with great joy, they affectionately embraced him. Yes. So the cowherds were unconscious. And then who's next? Having regained their vital functions, Yashoda, Rohini, Nanda, and all the other cowherd women and men went up to Krishna, O descendant of Kuru. Even the dried up trees came back to life. It doesn't mention the gopis. You know why? Because they were dancing with Krishna on the hooves of Kaliya while everyone else was unconscious. They were having Rasalila, according to the Acharyas, Ananda Vrindavan Champu, and these other Acharyas said that Krishna brought the gopis up and they were having a Rasalila on the heads of Kaliya. And nobody else could see because they were all unconscious, so Krishna was having a good time. Nobody else could see except themselves.
this was at the same
yeah.
time that
the, yeah, the
dancing on the heads.
Yeah, he was dancing on the heads. Yeah.
And so he invited the gopis there.
Yeah, yeah.
I also read that in one appearance, I don't know if it's all appearances of Kali, but Krishna puts a string through his nose
yeah.
the horse and rides him around the Kali.
Yeah, it says that here also, that he took the, I thought it says that here. He took the reins, he took the chatters of the wives of Kaliya and made them into reins. And then drove him around. I thought that was in here. Maybe it's just the acharyas.
And
he was driving. He took all their veils off from the wives, and he used that to make the reins. Yeah, yeah, that's true. So here he is. He's having a good time. Nobody else. See the cowherd boys were unconscious, and Yashoda, Rohini, Nanda, they were all also unconscious, and the trees were unconscious, they dried up. Everybody was unconscious except Krishna and the gopis are up there with him. So Lord Balaram embraced his infallible brother and left, knowing well the extent of Krishna's potency. Out of great feelings of love, Balaram lifted Krishna up on his lap and repeatedly looked at him. The cows, bulls, and young female calves also achieved the highest pleasure. So all of these, they also were unconscious too. The cows, the bulls, the animals, the trees, everybody was unconscious because they were feeling separation from Krishna. Oh, we thought Krishna is lost. We lost Krishna now. And so what's the use of life? How can we live without Krishna? So anytime anything happened, they would just, to Krishna, they would become unconscious. Not for themselves, but for Krishna, they would. So then all the respectable brahmanas, together with their wives, came forward to greet Nanda Maharaj. They said to him, "Your son was in the grips of Kaliya, but by the grace of providence, he is now free." So they never thought, that they never gave any credit to Krishna. That, oh, you know, you are so great, you have chastised Kaliya. No, it's providence here. Providence, due to providence. You are saved from Kaliya. Yes, providence has saved you. Sometimes they say Narayan has saved you, but they never think it's Krishna. They don't give him any credit. I mean, they know he's wonderful, but they always think it's because their puja, that's why he's saved. They do their puja, and now he's going to do that. The brahmanas then advised Nanda Maharaj, "To assure your son Krishna will always be free from danger, you should give charity to the brahmins." With a satisfied mind, O King, Nanda Maharaj then very gladly gave them gifts of gold, cows and gold. So their concern was for Krishna, Krishna's safety. They were not thinking, oh, what's going to happen to me tomorrow and the next day. No, thinking, oh, we have to protect Krishna. This was their mood. We have to save Krishna from danger. And here they failed, so they were losing their lives. And they were ready to go into the river, but Balaram stopped them. The greatly fortunate Mother Yashoda, having lost her son and then regained him, placed him on her lap. The chaste lady cried constant torrents of tears as she repeatedly embraced him. O best of kings, Parikshit, because the residents of Vrindavan were feeling very weak from hunger, thirst, and fatigue, they and the cows spent the night where they were, lying down near the bank of the Kalindi. Purport. Shijiva Goswami points out, although the people were weak from hunger and thirst, they did not drink the milk from the cows present there because they feared it had been contaminated by the serpent's poison. The residents of Vrindavan were so overjoyed to get back their beloved Krishna, they did not want to go back to their houses. They wanted to stay with Krishna on the bank of the Jamuna so they could continuously see him. Thus they decided to take rest near the river bank. So here, why are they hungry, thirsty, and tired? Because as soon as they heard about Krishna, as soon as someone came, messenger came and told them, I think a messenger came, old man came, yeah, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, an old man came and told them, oh, Krishna's in the lake. And they just left everything. They left their food uneaten. They left, so the whole day they spent there, well, as long as Krishna was in the coils, many hours. So they didn't eat that day. They didn't drink. They didn't, and they were very tired. Because, you know, when you get unconscious and you lose all your functions, then it takes a lot out of you. And so externally, they said, okay, we're so tired and hungry.
let's just rest here. But the real reason why they wanted to rest is so they could see Krishna the whole night. The whole night they wanted to see Krishna. Because they don't always get to see Krishna. You think, oh, they're the mother, father, they're in Goloka. They must always be seeing Krishna. But not, no. Every day they feel separation from Krishna. When Krishna goes to sleep at night, then the parents are not so happy, because then they have to feel separation from Krishna during the night. And the cowherd boys can't sleep because they're separated from their friend Krishna. And they come sometimes in the middle of the night, say, okay, let's go. Mother Yasoda says, "What? Look at the time. What time are you coming here? You just go home. You come back in the morning." But they just keep, you know, they just want to be with Krishna. So then in the morning time, then the parents get to be with him. And so they feed him and give him bath, and then he's ready to go out. But Yasoda follows him out there, and she adjusts his clothes. Oh, okay, it looks all right. Then she goes back. And then she comes back out again and says, here. And then she feeds him a whole meal again, because she's thinking, oh, you're going to be hungry. And he just ate, you know, but then she starts feeding him again. Then she goes back, and then she turns back again, and she tells all the different cowherd boys, you protect him from the front, you protect him from the side, you from the back. And she goes back. And then she goes back again, and she says, now, you promise to protect him, and if he gets hungry, you have to feed him, and if he's tired, then you have to fan him, you know. So she gives all these instructions. And finally, Krishna, he wants to be with his friends, you know, and his mother's not letting him go. So finally, he just begs her, mother, you have to go back. And I'm hungry. Please go and cook something for me, you know, and send it out. So he has to think of ways to send her back, because she's feeling such separation. And the gopis are looking at him with sorrowful eyes. And he's looking at them, and he's telling them to go back, you know. And finally, he has to get heavy with them with his glance. You know, you just go back. And then his father comes, and he starts, you know, trying to do things with Krishna. And then Krishna says, you have to go back, because if you don't go back, then what will all the other people do? They won't go back either, because the whole village is out there, you know, getting their last glimpse of Krishna before he goes out to with the cows and cowherd boys. So then finally he gets out. And then everybody, the parents and the gopis, are all in separation from him during the day. Of course, the gopis manage to meet sometimes. Depends how old he is. When he's in the Komara age, then he's basically with his parents most of the time. Then in the Paugunda, he's more with the cowherd boys. But then once he gets to Kaishora, then he's with the gopis. And even in Paugunda, he slips away sometimes. In that story of Deinukashura, and he's describing the beauty, that's chapter 15, the beauty of Vrindavan. And he's telling Balaram, oh, just see how all the trees are bowing down to you. And then one of the Vishnu Chakravarti says, he convinces Balaram, you take care of the cows now. I have a meeting somewhere. He goes and meets the gopis. He slips off. And then at the end of that chapter, it says when he comes home in the evening, then it's a whole festival. And first of all, the dust is in ecstasy. They say, first they see the dust. When Krishna comes home, they see the dust coming up from the hooves of the cows. And but Jananivas says it's the Harinam Sankirtan of the dust, that they're so ecstatic that Krishna's coming that they're jumping up in the air. And they go all over Krishna's head and his garland, and the friends are dusting him off everywhere except the garland, because it's a very special garland. It was made by Radharani, so they don't want to touch it because it might get ruined. So he's coming home, and then everybody's getting worried. Why is he taking so long? Yashoda, the gopi is saying, don't worry. She sends somebody ahead to see what's going on, and so they say, he's just, you know, it's the demigods. The demigods are taking so long with their prayers. Because that's their time. When Krishna comes home, the demigods stay on the path and they offer prayers to Krishna. And then finally he comes home, and then when he comes home, then everybody's welcoming him in a different way. He's embraced by his mother and father. And the gopis, they do a full arti with their eyes to Krishna, and Krishna accepts it. And there's many things in their glances. It's like a whole lila just with the glances between the gopis and Krishna. And finally he makes it to his house, and then again it starts the separation of the cowherd boys and then the parents also, and then the gopis get to be with him at night. So this is why everybody was so happy. Everybody was there, the whole village of Vrindavan, the gopis, the cowherd boys, and here was a chance they could just see Krishna as much as they wanted. So usually it's broken. They can't see Krishna the whole day. So, but here, and that also happened late, will happen later on when he lifts Govardhan Hill, that the whole Braj will be underneath the hill, and they will be able to see Krishna for 7 days and seven nights. And they didn't sleep, and they didn't eat, and they didn't care. They just wanted to see Krishna, because nothing mattered except their relationship with Krishna, and they were able to see him. So I'll stop here. Any questions or comments on these verses?
Cowherd boys, you know, the gopis, when they meditate, when they rest, they're always meditating on their readings with Krishna. Are cowherd boys also sleeping with these, but meditating with these?
Yeah. Yeah, if they could sleep, then they would meditate on their meeting. Everybody was like that. The parents, the cowherd boys, the cows. I mean, not the cow. I don't know about the cows, but yes, all of them were, when they were sleeping, that's all their thoughts were. And Krishna was meeting them. When he left and went to Dwaraka, then every night he would go to Vrindavan. And that's why, they thought they were just dreaming. But he said, no, it's not a dream. I actually come every night, and I'm with you. That's part of the message he sent with Uddhava, when Uddhava went with a message. And he said, actually, I'm coming every night to be with you. But you think it's just a dream. And that's why when he appears to be asleep in Dwaraka, he's calling different names of the gopis and the cowherd boys and his mother, sometimes cows. In his sleep. Not only in his sleep, they said, even in the daytime, he sometimes daydreams. And he says the names of his friends in Vrindavan. So that's his meditation as well. He's meditating on them, and they're meditating on him. And actually, he's going there to be with them. And it's not just it's reality, actually. He's really in Vrindavan. And Dwaraka, it's his expansion. But even in Dwaraka, as his expansion, he is thinking of Vrindavan. Yeah?
When Krishna's friends, not sleeping, not eating, is he like tapasya?
No. Tapasya, they don't have tapasya at all with their bodies. Tapasya is that Krishna is not, they are not with Krishna. That's the tapasya. Tapasya is, oh, we cannot see Krishna. They don't even notice their bodies. They're not aware. It's not a tapasya. The only tapasya is with the body. It has, yeah, there's no problem with the body. They're not even aware what their body is. It's hungry, it's thirsty, and all this. They're just, only awareness is Krishna hungry, is Krishna thirsty, is Krishna with me? That's how they're thinking. Yeah?
Even among the residents of Vrindavan, there are standout devotees like Mother Yashoda.
Right, there's a leaders. So, leaders.
Right. Does, I'm going to close this question, does the desire to see and be with Krishna sometimes override the natural humility of the devotee? In other words, you were just describing how Mother Yashoda seemed like she was trying to make any excuse just to, you know, come back, you know, tell
right.
The cowherd boys, do this, do that, and come back, oh, make sure he eats, and, you know, come back again, until finally Krishna had to, you know, go away.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah,
there's one part of the question is that okay? Obviously, it is, in a sense, okay that we try to cultivate our mood like that, but because it's there. But
well, I'm not saying that we should cultivate our mood like that. I'm just saying that that's how they are. And we have to cultivate humility and all these other, you know, in order to chant constantly, because by the chanting, then it will be revealed who we are, what is our relationship, what is our name, what is our service. I mean, in the parental rasa, there's not humility, but sometimes it comes. Usually, they're not in a humble mood. They're in a mood of more, protecting mood, or they tell Krishna to bring your shoes and do this and that. The servants are in the humble mood. The friends are not in the humble mood at all. They think they're better than Krishna. Pretty much. I think there's a story. I'll just tell it's a short story. One time, Krishna lost the game and he had to carry his friends on his shoulders, and he just didn't feel like doing it. He said, "You know, I'm not going to do it today. It's too much. I'm not going to carry you on my shoulders." He said, "It's not fair. We won. You lost." He said, "I know, but I just can't do it." And finally, they kept pushing him, and he said, "You know what? I'm God. That's why. I'm not going to do it because I'm God." And they said, "Oh yeah, right. Tell us another story." And so finally, he said, "Okay, I'll show you. Show us if you're God. Show." He said, "Okay." So we changed into Narayan. He showed the whole scene of Vaikuntha. Everyone was worshiping him. And the coward voice was saying, "Oh no, where's our Krishna?" And then and he said, they said, "Come back, come back, come back." And then finally he said, "Okay, now you believe I'm God?" And they said, "Well, you know, maybe you're God." And they said, "Anyway, okay, but tomorrow you have to carry us. Today we'll let you off. But tomorrow you got to do it. Maybe you're tired today, okay, but tomorrow." So it didn't faze them, even they saw that he was God. And there's a different mood with the cowherd boys and with the gopis. The cowherd boys are very proud, and they think I'm Krishna's best friend. They all think like that. And the gopis are very humble. And they think, "Oh, she's best. He's best. That other one's the best." That is described by the acharyas. They do have a different mood. But the gopis are always thinking the other one's the best. The cowherd boys are thinking nobody's better.
Is there some
better
crossover? Gopi,
yes, sometimes.
Assumes the mood of a cowherd boy.
Well, Radharani did one time. She even dressed. Well, that was a whole pastime. I can't tell now. She dressed, but she couldn't get out of her mother-in-law's house. So Subal came and changed clothes with her, and she got out in the cowherd boy dress. And in Vrindavan, on Gopashtami, they dress her in dhoti. So she's in that mood sometimes. And sometimes she changes over. Radha and Krishna change over. She gets the mood of Krishna, and Krishna has the mood of Radharani, and they change over like that. But and sometimes there is, like, you know, there is rivalry, you know, between the groups, like Chandravali and Radharani. So that's there. And Radharani gets angry. Anyway, Hari Bol. Aglaish Shri Prabhupada. Hari Bol.